This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at worldsweeper.com, and I'm speaking with Jay Wells, who is the principal with Wells Sweeping, and is also the managing partner for sister company Wells Sweeping LLC. They're located in Sacramento, California, and they have been chosen as the featured contractor of the month for the month of May 2008. By the World Sweeper staff, due to not only the size of their operation and the way they run their business, but that Jay has been spearheading the effort in the state of California to work with the California Air Resources Board for a variance in how sweepers are regulated in terms of their chassis engines and auxiliary engines emissions in the state of California. Jay, welcome to the interview.
Okay, thank you for choosing us for the month of May.
You're certainly welcome. There are only 12 contractors a year chosen for this, so it's definitely a nice honor.
Okay.
If you would talk a little bit about the background of the company. When was Wells Sweeping started? Did you start it? Is it a family started as a family business, or how did that work?
I started the company back in the late 70s. I was on the road playing in a band, and I kept running into these guys sweeping parking lots because we would finish playing late at night, the nightclubs, and I would come out, and it was always being a parking lot sweeper running around. And so I started talking to those guys, and actually ended up in Redding, California, and met Mr. Jack Rogers. He was the innovator of the Nighthawk sweeper.
Right.
Just so happened to do my last gig in Redding. And so ironic, I ran into Jack and Shirley out sweeping the Mount Shasta Mall up there, and 2 days later, I bought my first sweeper.
That shows what a marvelous salesman Jack was, besides being a great designer.
He sure was. He was an innovator, and he was a great person in addition to that. He was just a great guy. I couldn't have met a better guy to be starting off from cold turkey in the sweeping business. Jack gave me a lot of guidance. He provided me with an excellent machine, and I got in on the ground floor with Jack, and it started in 1979, and we kept going. Every year got better. We got stronger and stronger. In the late 80s, we started doing some street sweeping. I picked up my first street sweeper, and then from there we increased our day sweeping, which would be street sweeping. Also merged into doing floor scrubbing, which we do quite a bit of now, and then we do some specialty sweeping in that day division too. And starting in 2003, because of liability reasons and just wanting to separate the night business from the day stuff because it was such a different animal, we started a sister company, an LLC, and we brought in members. That sister company has two employees with 12 managing members plus myself. So we just thought we would diversify a little bit, and that kind of separated the liability out a little better, and it just added some additional benefits to our operation.
Oh, very good. So you've talked a little about what you do with your nighttime operations. What do you do with your daytime operations, and we'll come back to that.
Okay. The day operation is mainly construction site cleanup, municipality work, commercial, large commercial accounts that require a large sweeper, and then concrete floor scrubbing. We do quite a bit of concrete floors, and also a certain amount of hazmat cleanup that we use those scrubbers. If there's a spill, an ink spill, any kind of a liquid spill that needs to be contained, we can scrub it up in those units, and then it can be pumped out by a certified hauler and, hauled to a disposal site. So we've actually done a lot more of that kind of work over the last, I'm going to say, 5 or 6 years on the cleanups, the on-call cleanup jobs like hazmat or spills. So that has... that has added kind of a nice additional diversity to our operation. And you know, we're actually looking about maybe diversifying a little more into Vactor, sewer cleaning, DI cleaning, and that type of thing too. And because of all the rules and regulations now with CARB, that's kind of put that on hold for now.
So you believe the future of allied services in the street sweeping business is in those areas you just discussed?
As far as you mean it, when you say allied?
So basically environmental services, catch basin cleaning, that the hazmat spill cleanup and reparation, reclamation, that's those sorts of things.
Yes, I think that's a good area to go into, and it's becoming more cities and counties tend to be contracting out more services as the years pass. We see more cities contracting out for these types of services other than using in-house equipment.
And are these primarily cities that you currently sweep for, or would you think doing proposals for cities you don't sweep for and then try to get the sweeping, or how do you see that part working? Talk a little bit about how you approach a city to get their business when they have an in-house fleet currently.
Okay. Well, we have approached several cities around this area that actually do their own sweeping, and I think a lot of cities they like the idea, but they're reluctant to do it because most cities and counties have in-house unions. And these in-house unions don't want to see work go to a contractor. They want to keep their people on the job. So I've run into the case here in the Sacramento area where we'll go to a city and we'll make a presentation to them that we think we can do their sweeping more effectively and cheaper than what they can do it in-house, and they just flat tell us, you know, look, we're dealing with a union, and this will never be contracted out. So that's kind of first thing that we've run into. But what we've found is some of the new cities that are coming online, some of the new cities that are incorporating around the areas, and I think in large metropolitan areas, this is becoming more common in the recent years than it was, say, 20 years ago, where cities are breaking away from counties and incorporating their own cities. Those cities are young. They don't have a lot of capital. They don't have a lot of equipment. So what they tend to do, we see them tending to go out and contract out critical services like sweeping, garbage, vectoring, drain, DI cleaning, sewer cleaning, a lot of those specialty type of operations are now going out to contractors. So the old cities tend to have unions. They tend to be strong. They don't want to give up the work. The new cities tend to operate a lot meaner and leaner, and they are they're the ones that appear to be that's coming online to service. And we've approached our current cities. And they are receptive to having additional services, but in most cases, they still maintain contracts with the counties that they break away from. And we see this a lot, that the county doesn't want to lose all the work, so the county cuts a deal with them in the upfront arrangements of breaking away from the county and incorporating. The county comes in and says, hey, we'll do this for X number of years. And that's the case in one of our cities here where the county picks up all their Vactor work, and they would give it to me, but they have a contract with the county, and that contract's longstanding. So in some cases, we're seeing that additional services could be provided, but then in other cases, we're seeing where the local county agencies don't want to give up the work, so they hang on to it for as long as they can.
Well, that's sort of business as usual in many cities I know around the country.
Okay.
Well, let's move over to the parking area sweeping. What are you seeing as the current trends on the West Coast in that area?
The parking lot sweeping for sure has changed dramatically you know, since I've come into the business in 19 in the late 70s, I think when I first came into the business, I think I had maybe five competitors here in Sacramento that, you know, that I was competing against. And predominantly, you know, it was, you know, it was a wide open field, and it was much easier then than it is now. And what I have seen over the past 30 years, I've seen a heavy influx of parking lot sweeping contractors. I mean, just a total saturation of the market, really. And you know, each time one of those guys comes in, a new guy comes in and starts, even though the population here has increased quite a bit, we still have, I think, the greatest number of sweepers per capita of any state. Correct me if I'm wrong about that. I think California has a lot of sweeping contracts.
There's certainly lots of them there.
Yeah. And so what I have seen is I have seen competition get fiercer and fiercer and fiercer, and to the point to where literally in some cases we're working at the same pricing that we were getting in the early 80s, and we're trying to deal with that. And now with the price of fuel and the cost of equipment and everything, it is now becoming a situation where I think we're going to see a lot of these guys that are not charging enough money. I think we're going to see a lot of guys in the next few years go out of the sweeping business. I think we've seen a lot come in, and I think what's going to happen now is the opposite is going to happen. I think we're going to see a lot of parking lot sweepers, contractors exiting this arena because it's getting too expensive. And they just haven't raised their prices enough to maintain a decent profit. So that's kind of my take on the industry here in California. And the industry here in California, per se, the sweeping industry, is not very well organized. We haven't really had an organization here, an industry organization, that where people got together and really dealt with issues pertaining cost. What's it cost to run a parking lot sweeper? And I don't think a lot of guys even realize what it costs to run a sweeper, whether it's a parking lot sweeper or whether it's a street sweeper. I don't think they know their hourly cost. And I think you have to be able to determine that if you're going to be profitable. And so I think the biggest thing that we have now is competition, and I think that as time goes, as passes by, I think it's going to get better in the parking lot division.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we're going to see guys that are not charging enough money. They might have a really old truck, and they're putting along, and they're trying to get they don't plan on replacing it. They're going to run this thing until it falls apart, and they're just going to, when it falls apart,
But until they fall apart, whichever happens first.
Until they fall apart, yeah. So I think that has been, I mean, I think there was a period of time where everybody thought there was a gold mine in sweeping.
Yes.
And I think even some companies advertise that. Some manufacturers actually advertise that.
Right.
And at one time, I really think it was true. I think at one time it was true. I think there was a gold mine in parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first started in this business, as I said earlier, you know, I walked out of the nightclub that I had just finished playing at, walked out in the parking lot, never even realized that somebody was out there sweeping the parking lot. That was just something that I didn't know existed.
Well, and still, today, most people don't realize that parking lots get swept, although today, because the industry has matured to such an extent, most all pavement, the owners or managers of most all pavement have been approached and have made a decision about sweeping and how much and so forth. So I know that one of the things that has changed in recent times is a movement toward these national vendors where somebody gets a national contract and then sometimes, although they don't know what to do with it, they go out to different states, different locations, and get local contractors to handle the actually doing the services. What has been your experience there? Do you use any of those? Do you take any national vendor accounts? Have you been approached?
Yeah, we've actually in the last, I'm going to say 4 or 5 years, have been approached several times by several different national vendors that have negotiated maintenance contracts with big companies like Target, Rite Aid, Walgreens, maybe Home Depot in some cases, and these are contracts that we had in some cases we were doing the majority of some of these stores. Like, for example, Rite Aid, I think at one time I was doing like 7 or 8 Rite Aid stores. I got a call from this company back east. They said they now had the contract for all these stores, and they wanted me to rebid, give them a bid. And I proceeded along the lines to explain to them that, well, I was already doing the stores and that I would continue to do them at the same price. And basically what they told me is they said, well, we're not going to do them at that same price. We only have this amount of money to spend, so we'll pay you this much. So they wanted me to bid the stores, but basically come down to telling me, well, we're only going to pay you this much.
Right.
So that's when I told them, take my company off their list. Don't solicit me. I don't want to work that way. So I just refuse to do business with those type of national vendors.
Okay.
We just found that it was, first of all, it was not going to be profitable. Because we were, in some cases, having to cut our price in half of what we had been sweeping for. And the service was basically the same. And then, in addition to that, these companies were requesting, since they didn't have anybody local, they were requesting us to report back to them any problems on that parking lot. Per se, striping, potholes, lighting outages. I mean, just a gamut of management things that they wanted us to do, to report back to them at this reduced price. So I basically told them, I said, well, if you want me to manage your property, then you need to pay me a management fee.
Right.
Well, that didn't fly.
So they not only wanted you to provide more sweeping services, but then also provide additional services at half the price.
Exactly, and not pay us for it.
Right.
So that's when I said, wait a minute, that's not a good business deal. You know, I'm not going to do that. So we just refuse to work with those companies. And I think it's not a good deal for the national vendors either. I don't think they have a local person that's concerned about their property. And I think there's a lot of negatives regarding that national vendor issue. And I think that as time has passed by, I think there's been some disappointments with the national companies that have gone with national vendors. I don't think they get the service that they get.
Right. Well, they clearly can't, because that is the mandate, is to have a lower cost, more services at a lower cost. And as you've pointed out previously, the parking area sweeping contract business especially is so highly competitive now that there isn't a way to certainly move 50% lower or even 10% lower and remain profitable. I might insert here also that in our parking area contractor area at World Sweeper, we do have some articles about some of the things that have happened with national vendors. And by and large, it has been trouble. They are asking for unrealistic things. They're slow in their payment. They tend to come into a marketplace and revolve around from low bidder A to low bidder B to low bidder C when each of the previous companies is unable to continue to provide the services. And it appears unstable and unsustainable. Only time will tell whether they can keep getting folks that have to make their sweeper payments at any cost to jump in. And in some marketplaces, some contractors around the country, especially in the Midwest, will say that, and these are areas where it's not so competitive, where they don't have a lot of choices to keep going to till somebody says yes, they're paying a higher a higher amount, and in some cases the same amount they were paying before, but the reason appears to be that they don't have alternative choices because they're in isolated market areas.
Well, one thing that we realized, and I actually contacted some of the national companies and basically had some discussions with them on this, that they don't have a local manager in the local area. In other words, these companies are working out of an office back in Illinois somewhere, and they really don't have a full-time person on the road in every area that they're servicing. So once again, they're relying on the contractor. They're relying on the sweeping contractor to do the sweeping and do the management.
Right.
And report back to them. Now, that's out there.
Well, and many times they're requiring a higher level of paperwork from you, in some cases notification that the lot has been swept every night, and those sorts of things too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's move on from that, and tell me if you would, what do you think the most potential is in your marketplace for expansion or areas that you wish you'd expanded into and so forth for your parking area business? You're an advocate, I know, of doing enough other services to where a manager can just pick up the phone and basically make one phone call to you and know that their parking lot problems and exterior maintenance problems will get solved. And I know that you even manage for several properties for companies that are out of state ownership and that kind of thing. What do you think that a sweeping contractor in today's market should be doing besides just parking lot sweeping?
Well, that's a good question, and that's something that I think varies from contractor to contractor, depending on the contractor's background and expertise. I think one thing that can be expanded on is maintenance. I mean, all general maintenance around a center, you could get into that. I mean, that's something that around a shopping center has to be done all the time. Of course, parking lot striping, you know, which is kind of a specialty issue. Seal coating, which is another kind of specialty issue. And so those two things there, parking lot striping, seal coating, and building maintenance, I think there's a lot of opportunity there and for a parking lot sweeper. But on the other hand, the problem with that is that you're talking about parking lots are at night. A lot of this other work is during the daytime, and it can create a chaotic situation if you're not organized to where you can handle large amounts of work and take care of the paperwork and have the human resources to do it. So I think that there's a lot of expansion that can be done, and I think it falls back on the expertise of that contractor.
That makes very good sense. How about moving to construction sweeping? Is that the same kind of thing where you have your sweeper out with parking lots at night and perhaps a different crew during the day with the smaller air sweepers? Are they able to do construction sweeping? Light construction sweeping in your locale?
Well, some of the air sweepers now that we use to sweep parking lots with, are capable of doing light construction. So in some cases we do that. In some cases what we do also is if we pick up a new center and it's a new center and it needs, let's say it's we're having a grand opening and there's a lot of gravel and debris, a lot of heavy debris. We'll send out one of our large sweepers to work with the crew, to work with the parking lot crew, and that works real well. So we do support our night division with our day division sweeping, and in a lot of cases that works out well. As far as having our route situated to where we do construction cleanup on our night routes. We kind of keep that just to parking lot sweeping because the what we're using is predominantly the smaller, either Nighthawk or I think a lot of guys are using Mr. Airs. And they're a little smaller sweeper, and they're more suited for trash and light debris, and not really suited for the medium-duty sweeping that a Temco 210 would handle, or a let's say a 435 or an A4000.
Right.
So those medium-duty sweepers actually do a good job, but I think they're a little overkill for parking lot sweeping because you're running two engines. You're running two diesel engines, one in the front, one in the rear. And I think when it comes to regular parking lot sweeping, I found the Nighthawk, the single-engine sweeper, being the most reliable and actually the most economic way to do it.
And I know that there's a large body of thought in that direction out on the in California marketplace, especially because you tend to sweep much more often, and as a result, there's not as much debris to work with, and of course, it doesn't rain as much, so you don't have as much wet debris and that sort of thing. So,
right.
When someone is in a market like that, they certainly should look at single engines, if at all possible. And you know, there are a variety of choices. Nighthawk being the one you've talked about. Excuse me. Schwartz has one. SK Victory has come out with a single engine sweeper now as well. So. Is there anything else that we should add with this? This is a large amount of very good information for the contracting community. Is there anything else that your experience tells you that people should be looking at here as we, you know, move further into the 21st century?
Well, definitely here in California, we're facing the California Air Resources Board as far as a lot of rules and regulations that are going to affect a lot of sweepers. Anything over 14,000 GVW or anything that has a 50 horsepower or more portable engine on it. So these regulations are, some of them are already in place and some of them are being developed. And that's one of the things right now that I think us California sweeping companies, especially the heavy-duty sweeping industry, is we're really looking at that as being a serious a serious situation here in California. So that's one thing, one big thing that's just popped up here in the last couple of years. And as far as the general cost of doing business, it seems to me, it's been my experience, that 3 years ago I was paying $1.62 a gallon for diesel, and today I'm paying probably almost $4.30 a gallon for diesel. So the extreme price waves or whatever you want to call it happening,
right,
is going to be a tough situation, not only here in California but everywhere, with diesel fuel and the cost of rubber and the cost of everything going through the ceiling, cost of polyurethane, any rubber products at all. I mean, any oil-based products are going through the ceiling. So I think the strong is going to survive. I think in this business, it's going to be the strong that can survive, because there's going to be so many things coming at you from so many different angles that you're going to have to really be able to work lean and mean, and you're going to have to be able to make every dollar go as far as possible. And I think in some cases, you may have to readjust what you're doing in business. If you're doing a line of work that you're not making no profit in, you probably need to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to reanalyze exactly what you're doing. And I think there's going to be a lot of sweeping companies, not only in this state, but in every state, reanalyzing their bottom lines and what they need to do to stay in business.
And so we can't emphasize too much that to do that, you need to be organized, you need to be financially organized, you need to reduce your employee turnover, you need to take every step at every area you can to not only be organized, but to identify what your costs are in all phases of your operation, and to know the accounts that you're making a decent profit on, and to know the ones that are losers, and maybe segregate those out. As a helpful hint, we'll have up... I have waiting to come up. One contractor has said, talked about segregating his clients into A, B, C, and D, and he just feels that he needs to do that because the ones that are his best clients, he's forced to give a better, wants to make sure he gives an ultimate level of service to, and you know, there are some losers out there that if you're going to keep them on the rolls, you can't afford to give them, you need to recognize that, and not you can't afford to give them the same quality of service, even if that means losing them.
And I think that's a big problem too, because I think a lot of people, they'll take the low price, and a lot of those people expect the best service. And I think that that's something, and then a lot of people will take the low price and not care about the service. So I think that's a very true statement. I think you have to analyze your customer and figure out who he is and what he wants and what he's willing to pay. Because I think one customer will be willing to pay a reasonable price, and another customer will want to pay an unreasonable price but want the same service.
Right. And to recognize which those are, you can afford to keep them if you don't have to provide that ultimate service to them when they're not paying their freight for that.
Right. And I think I've gone through a lot of those type of different customers. I've gone through them and weeded them out and got rid of them. And they predominantly today still want to pay the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is critical to do. There's going to be some customers that are happy with a $10 sweep, and that's what they're going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're happy with that, and you can do that for them and keep them happy, then I guess that's a viable customer.
Right. Although with today's fuel prices, it's probably becoming a $50 sweep in any event.
Probably so.
Well, I sure appreciate your efforts on behalf of the industry, and the out of the box kind of movements you're doing in the state of California to work with the California Air Resources Board and that kind of leadership, as well as operating your business and having clearly you're able to do those things because you are organized and are doing a good job in those areas. So congratulations, and again, thank you very much for your insightful interview here, and congratulations once again for being our May 2008 Contractor of the Month.
Okay, well, we all here at Well Sweeping want to thank you too, Ranger, for the opportunity to participate, and also the industry here wants to thank you once again for your help with what you are doing, helping us try to achieve some variances and some exemption and maybe some compliance extensions here in the state of California, because we've called on you and you've been a great help. So we want to thank you also.
Oh, thanks a lot, Jay.